Good afternoon. Welcome to The Journey 8. I'm your host, Reverend Judy Hosner, and I invite you to sit back and take a few moments to breathe as we share this journey together.
Well, it's Tuesday afternoon, and that must mean that it's time for the Journey 8. I mean, that's what my appointment book tells me, so we're going to go with it. All right, before we go anywhere with anything, it's time for announcements. Let's start with Christmas album. My Christmas album has been scheduled to be released November 20th, which is the week before Thanksgiving, the beginning of Advent. I thought that was quite amusing when they told me. Now, here's the deal with the Christmas album. The Christmas album will not be a hard copy of a CD. This is going to be our first year trying a digital album only. So you will find us on iTunes and on my Reverb Nation page. And as we get closer to the actual release date, I'll give you all the blah, blah, blahs. It's going to be $9.95. Why they can't just make it $10? I don't know. These marketing people think there's some magic, I guess. So, anyway, that's the Christmas album. I'm anxious to see how this works. So, on to number two. Number two is Bible Trivia Game. Now, for those of you who haven't been listening, and congratulations to the 12 that are, here's the deal. You go over to purposegames.com, P-U-R-P-O-S-E, purposegames.com, and you will find, if you hit the tab that says Explore Tournaments, I think we're on the second page, and you'll know it's us because it says The Journey 8. Those questions are going to change tonight. We are in the second week until midnight tonight, and then we'll be starting the third. You have to register, you know, with a username thing and that stuff to be able to record your scores. So I know a lot of you are playing because I can see the grand number, but not many are recording their scores. So, you know, no one sees your email address except me. And it's not public knowledge. So go ahead and sign up and then take the test. All right. Last. No, it's not last. Number three. Jen Phipps is still going to Africa. I don't know why. Jen. But anyway, she's going to Mozambique and still needs help defraying the cost of tickets and so on. So if you're interested in helping out a girl meet her lifelong dream, then go to my website, closerwalkwithyou.com, and all the information about how to find her on GoFundMe is there. Okay? First of all, before we go into that mode, next week we have a young lady who has a connection to me in a kind of secondary kind of way. Young lady, I think she's 13. She's in her teens, by the name of Madison Hertel. And when you hear her voice, you are going to be blown away. I could not believe when I heard from my friend what a phenomenal voice she has. She will be here next week to talk to us about what direction her vocal career is going in. cute kid. So, yeah, I'm just full of all kinds of things happening here. Last but not least, we are going to get to the program. All right. So, I told you a week or so ago that God and I were wrestling. And, you know, I believe the story about Daniel, or not Daniel, Jacob, wrestling with God and only being the only one who ever has and lived. Because I felt like I was losing the battle. But here we go. We do have a series that starts today of messages. I think it's 4 weeks or 5 weeks long. The series is entitled Parting the Waters. And I thought that was kind of interesting since lately water has played a big deal in my life. And so I thought, okay, God, I can do this. Just kind of point me in the right direction. So today we're going to talk indirectly about scripture concerning Jesus and the Samaritan woman that he meets at the well. He stops to get a drink and the story goes on. So I thought that was nice, and you know, we were going to name it something like Jesus and the Samaritan woman at the well. Now that would be what a normal pastor would name it. But see, that's where the difference comes in. I named it Stay Thirsty. Yep, you heard me. Stay Thirsty. It'll fit when you hear it. So before I tell you the Bible scripture, here goes our disclaimer. No cab drivers, truck drivers, train operators, and or women with little doggies jumping up and down in their lap should stop what they're doing to pick up their Bible and find this passage. Look it up when you get home tonight. Okay. John 4. The book of John in the New Testament, the fourth book of the New Testament. John chapter 4, verses 5 through 42. Now, I am not going to read all 39 verses, but as I told you, it is the story of Jesus meeting the Samaritan woman at the well. So the whole gist of the series will have a connection to water. Have you ever been thirsty? Now, I'm not talking about the average thirst, where a cool drink of water sounds good after a nice long walk, or after you're working in the yard on a hot summer day. I mean, really. Really thirsty. Where your tongue sticks to the top of your mouth and you feel like you have to peel your lips from your teeth. And all you can think of is water. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. You know, when I was researching for this message, I come across a story, and this took place. This is a true story. It took place during Desert Storm. A young Marine is standing on the deck of an aircraft carrier. And if any of you know, the distance from the deck of an aircraft carrier to the ocean is a death-defying drop. Most people don't survive. But a little guy by the name of Joey Mora was standing on the deck of an aircraft carrier, and they were patrolling in the Iranian Sea. Incredibly, he falls overboard. I couldn't get over this. He falls overboard. No one notices he's gone for 36 hours. Okay, 36 hours is 3 days for any of you that don't know. So after 36 hours, they launch a search and rescue mission. Now, how far away from the spot was he at that point? Who knows? So after 24 hours, they give up the search and rescue, and it was believed that no one could survive in the sea without, he didn't even have a life jacket on. So we're talking 60 hours he's been in the water now. His parents are notified by the Department of the Navy that he's missing and presumed dead. Now, here comes the truth is stranger than fiction events. This is so strange that I don't think a Hollywood script writer would even pass the opportunity to say, no way, this is not even believable, even in Hollywood. So it seems four Pakistani fishermen find Joey about 72 hours after he fell from the ship. Now, we're getting close to a full week here after he fell from the ship. So he's clinging to a makeshift flotation device that he made from his trousers, which he learned how to do in boot camp. They pull him into the fishing boat. He's delirious. Obviously, I would be. They get him into the fishing boat. His tongue is dry and cracked. His throat is parched, but he's alive. Yeah. So about 2 years later, he's on an NBC News television show, and he's recounting this whole unbelievable story and this incredible will to live. Come on. 72 hours? I'm not certain I could, will myself, to live that long in cold, icy waters with all kinds of things swimming around behind me. So, anyway, he's talking about this story, and he says God kept him struggling to survive. I'm thinking to myself, God kept you alive in that kind of shape? He says, yeah, his discovery by the fishermen was, amazing. It made a needle in a haystack a piece of cake. So he mentions that the one thought that took over his body was water. Water. Have you ever been thirsty like that? I'm not talking about H2O anymore. And obviously, Joey Mora survived and is doing well. And God kept him alive, but kept him alive to mold him, during this whole physical battle. I was thinking about this. We all thirst for something. We long to be loved. We long to experience happiness and joy. We desperately search for meaning and significance in our life. When we come to church, we come to worship. We're surrounded by an ocean of living water. During worship, we sing and the music quenches our souls. When we listen to the scriptures being read, they kind of rehydrate us in a spiritual way. But even so, there's still many that I consider dry souls. They still haven't got it. Why is this? Why do so few drink from the well that never runs dry? If you've ever been really thirsty physically, then you can connect with being thirsty in a spiritual manner. So I'm amazed sometimes when I am standing up in front of a church full of people or wherever I might be, and I look out and I can tell by looking at the people many times who has the spiritual drink of water and who is thirsty. I'm not sure how to overcome that. You know, a preacher, teacher can talk about a lot of things and give a message, but if the message falls on a deaf ear, then it's hard at best to give them a drink of water. Here's a story here. There's a story about a young Buddhist student who went to his spiritual teacher and asked, "How can I really find God?" Well, the teacher asked the student to follow him to the river. And when they get there, the teacher asked them to follow him to the middle of the river. So, being a good student, he follows his teacher to the middle. And when they arrive where the teacher wants them to be, the teacher says to him, "I want you to immerse yourself in the water." So down he goes. As soon as he's under the water, the teacher grabs his head and holds him under. And of course, the student's thrashing about and, you know, trying to get up, and still the teacher's holding him down a bit longer and finally releases him. And of course, the student pops up gasping for a breath of air. And the teacher waited for a short period of time and looks at the student. He says, "When you desire God to the same level as you just desired to breathe, then you shall find him. And just as dehydration draws the whole of our physical being to a longing for water, so a spiritual void will draw our soul into a search for deeper meaning. Hopefully, we turn in the right direction to fill that void." And, you know, David explains it best in Psalm 42 when he says, "As a deer longs for flowing streams, so my soul longs for you. Oh God, my soul thirsts for you, for the living God." Now, these words are kind of modified a little bit, and we recognize them as a hymn, a beautiful hymn, which you're going to hear here in a moment, called "As the Deer Panteth." And I want you to listen to the words of this song if you've never heard it, because it is an analogy of exactly what we're talking about today. So, Mr. Engineer, if you can crank us up, "As the Deer Panteth." Wow. You know, there's probably about 150 versions of that song. I've heard 149 of them, probably, in my 20-some years of service. And I never get tired of it. I think because poetically it's so cool. Anyway. You know, the whole concept here, and I do want to let you know that we may or may not have Malia today, but that's fine. The whole concept of water and thirst goes to many levels. Many different religions use the symbol of water as a sign of change, because water flows, you know. The reality is we have to capture that type of spiritual thirst. We have to find our way back to being thirsty and anxious and longing for God. Because until you're in that place, and it's for those of you who are alcoholics, I can tell you, for those of us who are alcoholics, it's that rock bottom kind of thing that we talk about. Until you're in that place of needing, wanting, and just desiring change, you won't ever be filled. So, for instance, you could be drinking a lot of water, but drinking from the wrong well. You know, the worldly well, instead of the well of eternal life, is not going to get you to square two. The world, you know, is a beautiful place in many ways, but is not going to get you where you need to be. If you would like to gain your spiritual thirst, then listen to the words of Jesus again. In John 7, you know, he stated a very famous passage. He said, if anyone is thirsty, let them come to me and drink. For I have the water of eternal life. Yeah. So, you know, I love when the scriptures are written inclusively. So the word anyone means just that. If anyone is thirsty, not righteous, pious, every Sunday church goer or Saturday or whatever day. If anyone means tall, short, thin, or fat, wants a relationship with God, they can have it. If anyone wants spiritual living, spiritual water, they can obtain it. You know, the cool thing about God that people find hard to believe until they get to square two is that He created all of us in the different colors and shapes and sizes we are. So why would He be exclusive? In other words, why would He say only tall, blonde, white people can drink from this fountain? And the short people have to go over here. Not the way it is with Him, nor has it ever been. That's a man-made kind of thing. So anyone includes you, no matter where you are. You know, if you want a relationship with God, He'll meet you there. You know, reach out. The Greek word lambano means reach out. Grab a hold of Him. Don't be passive about it. You know, anyone is just that, anyone. And you can obtain that relationship very easily. You know, the big criterion is what? You must want it. If you've never read the book of Psalms and you don't intend on reading any other book, you have a task that you've set for yourself, that you're going to read one book of the Bible and that's it. Man, I'm going to try this Bible out. You know, this Bible thing. Read the book of Psalms. Why? Because it is songs. It's lyrics. It's music. You know, and it's beautiful. So David in Psalm 63 says, God, my soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. Now, I don't think for 1 minute that I'm so used to Paul writing this scripture. I don't think that David meant physically there was no water where he was at. He would not be alive to write such a verse. Definitely talking about his spirit. You know, I'm parched. I'm dried up. I'm tired. There's a song that hopefully I'll get to record here real shortly. That is done by 10th Avenue North. Great, great, great band. Christian band. And 10th Avenue North has a very unique sound. Their lead singer has a very unique voice. But their music is awesome. And there's a song called Worn. I think sometimes people that are parched and thirsty for God have been beaten down by the world, by their relatives, by their peers, whatever, that Worn, the song, fits, you know. I'm tired, I'm worn. And so you have to be at that place where, you know, you have the spiritual thirst that you want to draw from the right well, you know, God's well. And when you drink from the everlasting, eternal well that he has created for you, then all of a sudden you're not thirsty anymore. You know, it's really a cool thing. I'm thirsty. Drink from the right well. You won't be thirsty anymore. I'm thirsty. Oh, I'll go over here and drink sand. So, you know, filled with the Holy Spirit, which God has commissioned to stand in every cell of your body, and you will thirst no more. The preacher has finished preaching. And I know that Malia is on the line. Is that not true?
That's true, Judy. It's me.
And hello, how are you?
I'm very well. And yourself?
Much better. I'm actually...
been in prayer.
Well, thank you. Thank you. This is Malia McKinney, and she's going to start with... What is it that you do?
Oh, well, I'm a international award-winning songwriter who's developed her own company in Conscious Music Entertainment, which promotes the positive artistry in music with the foundation with the basics of what God is all about, and that is love, hope, faith, and charity.
Yes, and I ran across you because Mr. Kevin L. was one of my first guests, and your story was so amazing to me, I wanted you on the show, too.
Well, we're glad to be with you and glad to add to all the positive things that you're doing through your program.
Thank you. Thank you. We're working hard. Tell me, what is Conscious Music about? Truly, truly
Conscious
about
Music. Yeah, Conscious Music Entertainment was a seed planted in my heart by the higher power after writing many songs for the Legends of Country. He touched my heart, bringing into my life some amazing Grammy artists who just explained to me the importance of my artistry and how I could develop and give back to the community and to society. So in doing so, the Conscious Music Entertainment Enterprise was developed to just kind of adjust the way entertainment is today and just to artists develop those artists who have a great influence and influence on their listeners and audiences. We target children because primary children are the clay that God gives us to mold for future generations. And music, mm-hmm. if those that are really into music truly understand the dynamics of music and how music is truly the universal language, then it's very imperative that we understand the composition of what lyrics does to give it the heartbeat that gives us that resonation that we get with music in saying that that's my favorite song or just sublimial remembering the lyrics. The lyrics have an acute, just passionate connection with everyone that hears it. So it's very important that when we do entertainment, we go back to the old school where entertainment was entertainment and parents were able to go and enjoy the programming of their choice with their children and not segregated to where kids are, you're not really getting a whole lot of guidance and direction in what they're seeing and understanding. And pretty much so what's happened is our society has gotten to a place where the kids are pretty much their own leaders and they're choosing for themselves, which is great because everybody should have free will and freedom of choice, but they also need the education and responsibility that goes behind all those choices, which seem harmless right now, but over the years, it can become a calamity, as we're seeing in all the violence and music today and in entertainment, the vulgarity and so forth. It didn't happen overnight, but because of the changing generations, because of technology and so forth, we've gotten to a place where now we have a problem. We have a huge social problem, and we have to deal with it collectively in the marketing and in the entertainment sectors of those things that are hugely a part of our lives, our everyday lives, and we're influenced by those. So marketers, you know, need to step back and just get to the place where, no, sex don't sell, you know, because really we're selling our children short when we okay that, you know, it's okay to dress a certain way and to act a certain way at a certain age. You know, we were designed to grow and to develop. And that's the thing and the place where we need to get with our children. You know, it's baby steps. We got to crawl before we walk, and we got to walk before we can run. And those tactics are still apparent today in everything that we do. We can't just jump in and do things without knowing, you know, the repercussions from that, and that we have to stand up and be responsible for those things. So marketing is huge in that aspect that, you know, it's a form of entertainment through the advertisements and campaigns that we see in commercials, you know, the little jingles and so forth and so on. So in entertainment and all the genres of music and all the entertainment that's available to our youth, whether it be, you know, on video games, you know, music, music videos, TV programming that they're watching today, the reality TV is just so ludicrous. It's just so outlandish that it's just not... it's not real. And kids are learning that because they're a product of their environment. And so they're just taking in, like sponges, what they see, not understanding that there's no real reality to that whole thing. And so we've created behaviors in children and concepts in children that they don't understand. And so they rebel. And they get to a place where they don't have a spiritual foundation of the consciousness that we were born with. You know, we all have it in us. It's called God, and it comes from the conscious state of our human emotion. Love, faith, hope, and charity go hand in hand. And if we don't have that compassion within us, then we're not able to see what it is that God wants us to see, nor can we hear what he wants us to hear. It's one thing to go into church and sit and be a part of that, but to actually be a part of that is to receive God as your Savior, first and foremost, which is the key that unlocks that spirit of the conscious state, and then, you know, learn the moralities that go along with that. And morales, it's just changed so much in the generations over the last 10 to 15 years. Everything just keeps seeming like it's like sliding away, and parents just don't know what to do. But, you know, the truth is that they do have control. God gave them that control. And it's not about beating your kids or any of that. It's about, you know, words. Words have power. God gave us the power to speak, you know, to explain and to identify and role model and do all these things that we need to do for our children as we mold that clay. Because truly those children are ours on loan, but they truly belong to God. And he's entrusted us with those very precious things that mean so much to him. It's just an obligation and a responsibility for everyone to take part in that and try to redevelop what it is that we've allowed to get out of control. So basically, that's what conscious music entertainment is.
And how do you reach these kids? I mean, what works? Because, you know, as a preacher, I can tell you, oh, you know, I can have Bible studies and I can go out, but you know, they see me as the enemy sometimes. How do you find a way to get these kids or these young adults in a place where they'll hear what you have to say?
Well, basically, it's through mentoring. The initial state of mentoring is to show love, caring, and concern, and identifying with each individual child that they are an individual entity, and God loves them, and get their interest in, you know, what is God? Who is God? You know, identifying with things that's happened in their lives that they can't explain, and show them through the Word and the Bible how that transformed, because it is the Word, and the Word is living life. It's living water. And so when you target that through music, as I do with my artist Kevin Lambert with Rhythm and Praise, we've taken three of the top genres of music that is adaptable and most liked by the teenage group, and we put it together to formulate something that is so powerful in rhythm and blues, which is R&B music, with a hip-hop flavor, because right now that hip-hop sound, you know, is what's up. You know, they like the sound of the lyrical rhymes and so forth and so on. But then with the lyrics, we just add a gospel content, a message from the Word, and give them hope with it, and love and faith. And those are our dynamics that we use when we write this music. And so now it's become a new trend of music. Now the children have a choice. They like the sound, but it doesn't always have to be negative. Now they say, oh, wow, it's a groovy little tune, and it's positive. I like it. I'm going to choose this. Right now it's very clicky-clicky, and what society runs on is peer-to-peer. Peer-to-peer pressure in schools and colleges and so forth. Everybody wants to be accepted. Therefore, if that's the trending music, everybody's going to lean towards that, because our society is set up where each individual needs to be accepted. And that's where the loss is, because the confidence comes from knowing who you are in Christ as being a product of the great I am. And when they understand this small little rule, then it all falls in place. And so then they can say, hey, I'm special. I have my own person. I can make my own choices. And they can become leaders, as God has intended us all to be, instead of followers. And so after a while of planting a few seeds, you start seeing a garden grow, and eventually it all takes place.
Wow. How, you know, it's amazing to me that obviously your God phone is connected and you hear when it rings. How do you know, or when did you know that this is really what you wanted to do? Was this a lifelong thing that kind of ate at you, or was it because when you started writing music and getting involved, you saw what the trend was going to be? I mean, how'd you know?
Oh, that's a great question, you know, and it's a confirmation, too, for me, and certainly a testimony for those that's listening. I had the most incredible mother who was so spiritually oriented, and her relationship with God was so profound. She knew at a young age that we all needed to know who God was. And as I grew up, it just manifested itself. It grew. It's that living water that was in me. She planted the seeds, and I was pulled in those directions. Little did I know growing up that this was what was going to go on. You know, my mother was a profound poet. She loved those kinds of things, and that's how she interacted with me. And she targeted all 12 of her children and found what their specialty was and pulled that out of them. And so as I grew up, it just went into me falling into the same route. I mean, I had the Spirit of God already born in me. You know, I was a big part in the church, a huge church goer. My grandmother, you know, was a big influencer on that. And it just went into my early adulthood where I became a Sunday school teacher, you know, and it just manifested. And behind that was always music, poetry and music and music. And then as a younger adult, I fell into writing music, and my publisher landed me into the country music category. And I just came across some amazing people with some wonderful testimony that just totally, totally connected with what I had been taught. So I've been very blessed in having parents, both my mother and father, who were true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ and instilled that in our hearts and in our spirits. And it just grew. It just grew. And so as I manifested as a, you know, a songwriter, the awards came in, the press teach came in, and I just knew it was the glory of the Lord. And it's just a wonderful story behind it because, you know, it was like in 2010, you know, in the promoting portion of my current position in music, I was on a radio show, and I spoke with Skylar Jett, who was the individual who took the Commodore's place, Lionel Richie. And he had his own radio program, and we were talking about getting one of my artists on his program and so forth and so on. And he is the most sought-after songwriter in the world. I mean, the Titanic, every R&B song, a lot of the gospel stuff that's out there, just movies, you know, soundtracks, the whole nine yards. The man is just phenomenal, had been in the industry for well over 40 years. And he and I got to talking, and after a while we became friends, and he saw in me this spirit and love for God, and he said to me, you know, God's given you a great gift. You really need to use it for His glory.
Mm-hmm.
After that, it just kind of just manifested, and I began to dream. I mean, God brought dreams to me about things, and He brought a song to me called We Are Hope that went number one internationally and became the song of the year last year. And the song was actually written in probably 3 minutes in a mid-sleep at 3 a.m, just jotting it down. And it was a phenomenal song, and I was touched by it, but I didn't know what I was supposed to do with it at that time. So, of course, I took it to Nashville and had it recorded. You know, George Strait was considering the song. It had that country sound to it, but it just didn't feel right. So it went back up on the shelf, and I wasn't willing to give it up at that time. And then a little while longer, you know, I decided it was going to be used for a theme song. And my publisher said, you know, that song is such a great song, you know, and they have a worldwide songwriters contest where all the most prestigious songwriters are in it, and it helps us to connect with artists who want to record our music. And it's called the Songwriters, America's Songwriters Contest. And so what happened is she entered it, and I had a lot of interest, a lot of people wanted to record it, and it won Song of the Year and Honorable Mentions. And still, in my heart, it wasn't what it was meant to be. Not long after that, I had a dream, and the Lord told me and showed me how the song should be displayed. Instead of country, it needed to be a gospel, pop gospel song with just an incredible choir in back of it. And he told me, he says, no worries, I'm going to bring you the Ray of Hope. But at the time, I did not know Sheila Ray Charles, who is the daughter of Ray, the legendary Ray Charles. Mm-hmm. And through a lot of my networking and so forth, she came into play. I was introduced to her. The song was auditioned, and she recorded the song. And she even took it further and said, you want a choir? I have a choir that does all my music. And it's an award-winning choir known as the James Gear Choir, Gospel Choir. And so when we put all three of our talents together, God brought us together, we produced the song that won Song of the Year through the International Music and Entertainment Awards last year. So that was the seed that just kind of planted it for me. Since then, you know, I've written several other songs. I've donated songs to organizations. Denise Newton, who just wrote Ariel Rising, which features like 50 or 6, I think it's like 50 of the greatest women across the world that is doing social conscious work and bringing children and attention to those causes of need. And they're in just variable causes and positions. And I wrote the song Ariel Rising for her. And so it took off really, really well and is getting a lot of attention for her and her book. That was strictly a gift from me that I felt God wanted her to have. So she has this great song. And currently I'm working with the Dave Baker Foundation in Music for AIDS, and I created the song Music Can Heal the World, which will be a featured song, theme song for their organization, as well as the feature song on a compilation that's being done to raise money for the awareness of AIDS. I just was blessed. The seed just kept growing and growing. Little did I know I would fall into music. I've always been in the educational field for the most part of my life. And I guess, you know, at the early 30s, I fell into the music part and all that I had learned and studied in my school and training, you know, throughout school and college and so forth, just came to a head. And it's just been that foundation for which I stand on to try and teach the gospel through music. And the foundation of who we are in Jesus Christ and what he wants for us and every plan that he has designed for each and every one of us, which is unique and very special. And yeah. That's what we're all about.
Yeah, you know, as somebody who sings myself, I can tell you on a day where I'm feeling well and, you know, my voice is in good shape and stuff, the connection that's made with music that comes out, you know. And I know when I look over a sea of faces at whatever, you know, church or wherever I'm speaking, when the music starts up, all of a sudden everybody just, you can feel it. And, you know, my belief, strong belief, is that is the key to the heart. You know, you can sit and preach and you can talk, but the minute you pick up a guitar or the minute you stand behind a keyboard and you start playing, it's water. It's water for the soul, as we talked about today. Mm-hmm. You know, so what's the latest thing you're working on right now other than, excuse me, other than what you
I have all those
about.
Things going on for us. We're working on Kevin's current album, which is called Fearless, featuring some mm-hmm. amazing rhythm and praise music. But I'm also working on a personal project. It's going to be a compilation of all the social conscious music that I'm writing for organizations and businesses to uplift and give them a theme behind their entity. Wow. To give hope, faith, to charity. You know, to give their product or their organization and business, you know, an uplift, to kind of reestablish what we're standing on. Right now, we're standing on all the turmoil that marketing has to just confuse our generations, you mm-hmm. know, and we need to erase that and rebuild. And so through this music, I'm hoping to collectively get with distributors and so forth and start making a trademark and a brand on those things that we're trying to establish in conscious music entertainment.
Wow. Well, I got to tell you are amazing, and I'm so glad that you were able to spend a little bit of time with me, and I'm going to make you promise that you will come back and tell me how you're doing in a month or so. The holidays are coming up, you know.
That sounds fabulous. And by then, we'll have some new, refreshing music and some new stories to share and a lot of glory for the Lord.
Well, that's great. And before you leave, is there anything you want to leave with our listeners? Is there any way they can participate, or is there something they... some specific other than Kevin, of course, you know, the music, how do they connect with you?
I'm on all the social sites. You know, they can reach out to me on Facebook. You know, I have several pages on Facebook through Conscious Music Entertainment, Conscious Entertainment, or myself, Malia Taylor McGinney. And just shoot me a message, you know, and I'll get right back to them. They can go to any of the other social sites and do it as well. And of course, we have our website, which is goconsciousamerica.biz.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. Good. All right. Well, I want so much to dedicate a whole show with all kinds of stuff. And I hope you have the time to do that in the future here, because I think it's very important that people see there is someone out there that does care what words go on a record and what the children are listening to. You know?
Absolutely, and it would be an honor to do further God's work, because the Lord said the power is in the tongue, and through the tongue comes the words we speak. We can speak life, or we can speak death. And I think that if everybody understood the power they had, we'd all speak to live, because life is precious.
Amen. Yes, it is. Well, thank you so much, and I appreciate you taking the time out.
It's been a pleasure. You be blessed. Continue to heal. And we'll be happy to assist any way that we can spread the word that, you know, God is the answer.
Amen. Thank you very much, Malia. Okay, so there you guys have it. A wonderful person who has been called to a very special ministry. And one of the things I wanted to mention before we sign off today is, you know, we talked about water. This was our first lesson in a 5-part series on parting the waters. And water plays such a strong place with us. You know, each person has a gift. God gave each of you a gift. And God gave you a sense of knowing who you are from the moment of your birth. And sometimes we all lose our way. We all find the dark place. But you can reach out, Lambano, and he'll pull you out of it, you know? And if you can't seem to find that place, get a hold of one of us, you know? Go to Malia's Facebook page, you know, go to my website, do something, and pull yourself out. Because when you do and you come through it, the hope and the faith and the strength that you'll have will be what you need to get you through to help somebody else out. It's kind of a pass it on theory. It's a simple one, but it works, you know. But you have to have God on your side. You can't do it alone. All right, so remember, tonight the Bible trivia game switches at midnight tonight. It'll be week 3, and you can find that again on purposegames.com. And I think I got some good questions for this coming week. You guys have been great about sending me in questions to use. And remember that parting the waters, part 2 next week with our young guest, Madison Hertel. All right. God bless you, and grace and peace.
Thank you for listening to The Journey 8, and please come back and join us again. Remember, be kind in all you do, and the kindness will come back to you. Grace and peace, Judy Hasner.